Today I want you to know that our God is for us. Amen?
Amen?
No matter how it looks, God is for us. No matter what is going on around us, God is for us. Listen, no matter what is going on inside us, God is for us. And that's what this declaration is about. Because God wants to remove every hindrance. And we've been saying this from the beginning of January. Hindrances come from without, and hindrances are sometimes within. So we've got to search our hearts and examine ourselves to make sure that wherever we are, whatever is going on, that everything that presents itself as a hindrance is removed. Otherwise, we are just continuing along the same trajectory and nothing changes. And God wants to work in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But He will only work to the degree that you permit Him to work. He will only work to the degree that you give Him license to work. He will only work to the degree and to the level where your obedience is manifested, your obedience is seen to His word. So every Sunday when I get up and I stand here, I do not stand here proclaiming a fancy word. I do not look to be deep or whatever else. That's not it for me. Maybe so for other people, but not for this guy here. When I stand before you, I stand before you having sought the Lord and having waited upon the Lord. And it's important to me that God speaks to me to speak to you. Otherwise, I'm not giving you the rhema. And God wants you to have the rhema, word of God, working in your life. Now, last week, Thursday, to go back to it, part of what Pastor Chu was touching on in the prayer meeting was talking about authorities and the authorities out there and how sometimes they can place things upon people and upon systems and upon indirectly or directly Christians as well. So that what we stand for, the right things that we stand for, now begin to look they want us to make us feel guilty or make us feel like we're the one that is wrong. And that is not so. And this word that I'm going to bring to you today is just taken from one scripture, one verse. Last week we looked at two verses when we spoke about therapeuo. And just a reminder, the therapeuo means it's a continual act. So don't think that, okay, I came to the front and nothing happened. And you go home and you go back and that's it. Well, is that where your faith stops? It shouldn't. And I pointed out to you last week that the ministry of Jesus Christ used that word more than any other word, according to one scholar. Okay? Therapeuo was the ministry of Jesus. So it's a continual thing. So you go home and you confess. You walk on the street, you declare. At home, at work, wherever you are, you declare that the end result in Jesus' name. Are you with me? All right. So that was last week. All right? Therapeuo. Today, we're going to look at Isaiah 10 and 27. One verse. Isaiah 10, 27. Now I say one verse, but I'm going to flip back and look at a few of the preceding verses after I've dealt with this verse. And then we take communion service afterwards. Now please have your hearts open. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, do not ignore it. Do not ignore it. Because that would be not good for you. That would not be good for you, for the Holy Spirit to be speaking and then you're sitting there and you're not taking in God's word. You're sitting there and you're answering back in your heart, in your mind, in regards to truth that's being presented. Our response to the Holy Spirit has always got to be, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. In the name of Jesus. Now, Isaiah 10, 27, this is what it says. As a matter of fact, can you read it with me? Ready? Read. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And that's a simple verse, seemingly, but it's packed with stuff. I'm going to unload some of it today, okay, before, as I said, it's a communion service, so really, but I felt impressed to really bring this to you. The first thing I want us to notice, okay, the Bible says, I'll give you the background a bit later. All right, it shall come to pass in that day. That day. Very important. Very, very important. It shall come to pass. This is, by the way, this was the prophet of God speaking to God's people. Okay? Because God's people were going through stuff. Still, I was going to give it background to you a bit later. And I will. I'll come back to it. God's people were going through stuff. Some of the stuff that we're going through is because of your own wrongdoing. Okay? Some of the stuff that we're going through is because of the oppression of the enemy that was placed upon them. How many people know that the enemy is working today? It's working today. And I warn you, just like how I got us to pray on Thursday about relationships, I'm warning you right now again that the enemy is working to destroy marriages, is working to destroy work relationships, is working to destroy relationships with your neighbors, relationships with your friends, relationships even within your church. So be very, very careful. And if any time the church should have their eyes open, it should be a day like today. Because the enemy is working, and you've got to know what you are, what's happening around you. But then you've got to also be like the children of Issachar, who were men who knew what they ought to do in the times and seasons. One thing, seeing the thing, but another thing, what's your response to it? What are you doing? Are you going to humble yourself and submit yourself to truth? Or are you going to rebel and do your own thing? Are you going to obey God's word or not obey God's word? It shall come to pass, this is God now bringing a comforting word to his people. It shall come to pass in that day. That day is a specific day. It's a day of their breakthrough. It's a day of their appointed time for change. It's a day of God's in God's calendar for their deliverance. It's a day for their specific time frame for their elevation. It's a day for their deliverance. It's a day for their promotion. It's a day for their growth. That day is a specific day, a specific time when God is saying, this is the day when I'm going to change things that's happening around you and in your life, and things will be better in Jesus' name. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. We'll come back to that. That's the first thing. Sometimes we read this is a familiar verse, but sometimes we read it and we look past certain things. It shall come to pass in that day. What will happen in that specific day, that specific time? What will happen in that appointed time? Well, the Bible says that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder. His burden. Notice that. I underlined that deliberately. His burden. Somebody else's burden was placed upon God's people. And God is saying here, no. All right, I see what's happening. And what's happening, I've allowed it because of your disobedience. But there's coming a time, because I love you so much, that this is going to change. And that specific time, that appointed time, is going to come. And that his burden, the burden that others have placed upon you, okay, will be taken away from where? Will be taken away from your shoulder. Now notice, if you don't know this already, when the Bible speaks of shoulders, shoulders represent what? Does anybody know? Responsibility. That's what it's talking about. Responsibility. Listen, let me point something out to you. As Christians, we all have a responsibility. You've got a responsibility within your family, but you also have a responsibility in the place where God has placed you, i.e. your church. You have a responsibility. And the enemy doesn't want you to fulfill your responsibility. He doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do in this house. He doesn't want you to play your part faithfully. And so the frustrations of the enemy will come from all different angles. And God, and the enemy will try to frustrate, and he did frustrate God's people. Now, in the context, God's people had sinned. They had forsaken him. They had forsaken his ordinances. They had looked away from him. And that's why we see this with the cycle of Israel, where they worship God, and then they forsake God, and then their enemies come upon them, and then they repent and come back to God, and then they serve God, and then they rebel against God and serve other idols, and then God allows their enemies to come over them, and then they repent and cry out to God and have mercy. And we see that in the circuit of the judges for over 400 years, 300 or 400 years. And we've been through this in this church before. Where judge after judge after judge, and time after time, God raised up a deliverer, raised up people over his people, even though they rebelled against him time and time again. But the love of God is such that he always makes a way for his people. Amen. And this is what he's done. He said, that day, the burden others have placed upon you, from your shoulders, from your responsibility, preventing you from doing and carrying out your responsibility, your gifts and your talents that lay dormant, and the things that have been placed upon you so that you cannot function the way that I want you to function and fulfill what I am called you to fulfill. That day is coming when it will be taken away in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
All right. And his yoke Wow, look at that there. And his yoke from your neck. Yokes that belong to others around your neck. His yoke. It wasn't their yoke. His yoke. The yoke that others place around the necks of God's people. I've got a few slides. Let me show you a few things and talk to you a little bit about yoke. Yokes does not belong to the animal. It is placed there by others to control the animal. First of all, there are two types of yokes. There are yokes for animals that are placed around their neck. But there are also yokes that were made for humans that were actually placed around the necks of human beings. Okay? And God is saying here that the yokes, his yoke, the yokes that others have made and placed around your neck to control you so that you don't have the freedom and the liberty that you need to function the way that God wants you to function, that yoke will be removed in the name of Jesus. Now, from this picture, you can see two oxen, okay, joined together by a yoke. They cannot get away from one another. Let me show you this picture, and you can see it more clearly. Yokes, as I said, are man-made. They are not natural. That's something to note as well. You don't go out in the woods, in the fields, in the mountains and find a yoke. They are man-made. And so they are placed around the animals or around people. It's a controlling mechanism to get them to be controlled by whoever is operating the thing itself. Yokes keep you bound to a person or a thing, whether you want to or not. Yokes keep you tied to the familiar. Yokes keep you locked to the past. How many people know that the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your sins from you? Yeah. When the devil comes to you and tries to remind you of your past, and you believe it, you've just taken on the enemy's yoke. And now you've just licensed him to kill you, to choke you and to kill you. You want to be rebuking the enemy and saying, no, devil, that's in the past. If God doesn't remember that, nor do I. Come on, say with me. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Can you say it again? Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, you're free. Are you free in the house this morning? Are we free people this morning? Hallelujah. Then don't let any enemy, don't let any devil, don't make any demon place any yoke around your neck. In the name of Jesus. What else did I write down here? It may look like you, but it's not good for you, the thing that you're tied to. And there's a lesson there somewhere. Can you repeat that? All right. What I wrote down in my notes was that the thing that sometimes you are yoked to, okay, may look like you, okay, but it's not you. Yeah, that cow looks like that cow, doesn't it? Same color. They're both cows. You can look at that. But guess what? They're two different, distinct animals. Are you with me?
Yeah.
What the enemy wants to do sometimes is yoke you with the sin of your past. Let me just say that. And then he wants to tie you to that. Please listen. So that you don't forget it. So that every time you look, all you can see is what is beside you. Because you're yoked to it. But the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. And as I said, we just said it, we quoted from Isaiah, as far as the sea, the east is from the west, so have I removed your sin. God doesn't know about it. When you come to him with the sins of your past, God is going to look and say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Are you here? So don't let the devil come and bring up the past into your present. Because that will only hinder your future. Don't let that happen. So there's an important thing I'm coming to with the yoke. The Bible says that it shall come to pass in that day his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. Now I'm coming to something. The neck is a central point, but I don't want to go into that now because really this is kind of an exaltation. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. I'm coming to that now. There are three things. There are three things, okay, that the anointing does. Three things. Number one, the anointing causes burdens to be lifted. What do I mean when I say burdens? I'm talking about oppression. Oppression of the enemy. Weights. A heaviness sometimes that you feel. Things that obscure or prevent people from operating correctly can be burdens. What do burdens do? They slow you down. They wear you out. They suck your energy. Is anybody here with me?
Yeah.
They suck out your energy. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants you to carry it. But what did Jesus say we should do? Cast your cares upon him. Why? 1 Peter 5:7. Because he cares for us. He cares for us because he knows that if we try to carry what we're not designed to carry, it's going to weigh us down. It's going to wear us out. It's going to cause oppression to come upon us. It's going to cause us to not function properly. And you can't function properly when you have heavy weights on you because you weren't designed to carry weights. So, the anointing does three things. Number one, it causes burdens to be lifted from the shoulder of responsibility. And when that burden is lifted from the shoulder of responsibility, now you're able to function and carry out what God wants you to do. And carry out. He wants you to function correctly. Number two, the anointing causes yokes to be removed from the neck. Yokes around your neck hinders mobility, hinders movement, the ability to see all around, hence vision. Sometimes we can't see ourselves in our future because we're yoked with stuff around our necks that others have placed there, or we've allowed others to place there. And we've got to say, no, no, no. In the name of Jesus, that will happen no more because of the anointing. The anointing removes yokes from our necks. But there's a third thing that the anointing does. And this is hardly picked upon in this verse. Okay? It removes burdens from shoulders. And it causes the yokes to be removed from the neck. Can anybody tell me what the third thing is? It's in that verse. Yeah, that's it, David. That's it. The anointing destroys yokes. Isn't that good, church?
Yeah.
The anointing destroys yokes. So, yokes, if this is lifted from our neck and just placed down, guess what? The enemy can come, or somebody else, or someone can come and pick it up and place it on others and use it on others. But the Bible says that the anointing destroys yokes. It destroys it. So that thing, that mechanism, that thing cannot never be used anymore in your life. I'm telling you right now that, do me a favor, close your eyes, everybody. Just close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes. I don't want us to sort of glance over this and go through the motions and just leave the same. Because nothing will change. And while your eyes are closed, I'm just going to prophesy into your life. Whatever burdens you are carrying today in Jesus' name, if you will lay it down, you have to play your part. You have to will yourself to lay it down, that burden will be removed from this day, this appointed time in Jesus' name. Whatever yokes that may be there that nobody knows about, that's actually choking the life from you because it's around your neck, not only will it be removed from your neck because of the anointing, but it will also be destroyed. And so, Father, I pray that, and I speak that now over your people in Jesus' name, that every burden, Lord God, teach us to lay it down, Lord. To lay it down and teach us, Father, to make sure our hearts, Lord, is where it should be. And Father, I pray that, oh God, that you will just help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves, Lord God, to your will, Lord. And say, Father, not my will, but your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a look at this. Isaiah 10:24-25. Therefore, thus says the Lord. Listen to this carefully because this is a bit of the background. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. Remember, this is God talking to his people. And he's saying that the Assyrian will strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. So that's the New King James Version. The NLT says it a little clearer. It says, so this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. O my people in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians when they oppress you with rod and clubs as the Egyptians did long ago. In a little while, my anger against you will end. Isn't God good? My anger against you will end, and then my anger will arise to destroy them. And let me give you this one. Verse 26 in the NLT. The Lord of heaven's armies will lash them with his whip. This is what God is going to do to your enemies, church. This is what God is going to do to every force that comes against you. He's going to whip them with his whip. Right, he's going to lash him with his whip, as he did when Gideon triumphed over the Midianites. You remember that story? At the Rock of Oreb, when the Lord's staff was raised to drown the Egyptian army in the sea. Do you remember that one? All right, so God always deals with his people's enemies. When his people submit to them and obey what he's saying and do what he says that they should do. God is always looking out for his people. Listen, church, God has your best interests at heart. No matter what is going on in your life, I'm telling you, God has your best interests at heart. But you have to submit to the will of God. If you're going to do things your way, it's not going to work. If you're going to go by the emotions and the emotions alone, hey, it's not going to work. If you're going to get revenge, you know, if you're going to seek after revenge, well, I tell you what, I'll get them back. No, no, that will not work. You're taking the part. You're doing what God says he will do. And you can't take the part of God. And that's why you've got to sometimes just submit things to the Lord and leave it to him and let him deal with things. All right. Finally, let me give some scriptures. No God is thinking of you. All right, Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. That's Psalm 139. This is Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many people believe that God has a future plan for you? He has. Then listen, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. Go with God's flow. Go with his plan. Don't ruin it by doing your own thing, because that will never work. All right? Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Back to Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day. What day? That day. This day. The appointed day. You know the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I have news for you. That day, folks, when burdens are going to be lifted and yokes also removed and destroyed, that day is today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the anointing causes five things to happen. Number one, burdens to be lifted, and I'll give you some other scriptures there. Oppression to cease. Yokes to be removed. Yokes also, not just removed, church, but yokes destroyed. And the fifth thing is victory. Oh, what a beautiful word. Come on, everybody, shout victory.
Victory.
All right. Shout victory.
Victory.
Victory, that's what God has given you. That word God has given you. What is that? It's God's success over your enemies. That's what victory is. No matter what the enemy is, God's success over your enemies. That's what victory is. And God has given it to you. Listen, it doesn't matter what your life looks like now. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now and how it looks right now. I'm telling you, if you submit it to God, then victory is yours. Remember now, we spoke about obedience. You submit it to God, victory is yours. You don't submit it to God, you're deciding that you're going to do it your way. And it will never, ever work.
Yes.
Now, bow your heads again and close your eyes, because I don't know who you are. I believe that there are some people hurting deep down. We come and we put on our fancy, well, I put on my fancy clothes every Sunday. You know, we dress up and we come and we put on a smile. And we may look all right on the surface, but deep down underneath, there are things happening, stuff going on. And it is not well with your soul. Because you know that there are fighting and there are things that are happening behind the scenes that can cause a disruption to the spiritual flow of things and even the normality of our life. But I'm here to tell you today that this is that day. I believe that God is saying to us, this is that day when burdens can be lifted and yokes removed and destroyed. But church, it can only happen, man, if you submit to God. You cannot do it your own way. Well, I tell you what, I've already made up my mind and this is what I'm going to do. And I tell you what, God is able to change that mind. I've learned, I've been in this a long time, church, and I'm telling you this, you cannot fight God and win. You can't fight God and win. When I tell you what, I'm hurt. I know that you're hurt. God knows that you're hurt. But God is waiting for you to do the right thing. Are you going to submit to God or are you just going to continue doing your own thing, making your own decisions and going in your own direction and pretending everything is okay? Because it's not. God sees everything and He sees what is going on in the hearts. And this, you know, this came to me this morning. I was praying and it really came to me. I'm going to look it up, actually. I'm going to look it up. I don't want to read it. So you can open your eyes for a few moments. Sorry about this. Open your eyes for a few moments, okay? Because I just want to share this with you. The Lord said to me, carry this up here. And I said, Lord, I don't really need it. But I know better. And to fight with God, because I said, oh Lord, okay, maybe you want to say something. And it's Psalm 34, one a familiar psalm for many, and certainly for me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now this is why the psalmist was able to say that and invite others to come and bless the Lord with him. Because he said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Now, let me stop there. Alright? There's so much good news here, but this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Church, the God that we serve still saves out of all troubles. Can you say that with me? God saves out of all troubles.
God saves out of all troubles.
Say it again. God saves out of all troubles. Is it only the big troubles? It is only the small troubles? No. Out of all troubles. Whatever is going in your life, whatever is going on in your life, I said, God saves from all troubles. But He won't do it unless you allow Him to do it. And it's time we put down the stubbornness and the rebellion. Come on, you know who you are. It's time to put it down. It's time to lay it at the cross of Jesus Christ. You can't fight against God and win. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus Christ. God sees your hurt. He sees your pain. He knows everything that is going on. He knows it. But that does not excuse you or give you a reason to rebel against the Word of God, against what God wants for your life. As He delivered his people from the Assyrians. God can deliver from whatever yokes and burdens are placed upon you, by your circumstances, by others. Our God is a delivering God. But he only delivers those who are willing to yield to him. Once more, bow your heads, close your eyes. Is there somebody here who said, yeah, you know, Pastor David, this private thing is going on in my life, and I want it removed. I realize that maybe I'm making choices and decisions, or I'm going along a trajectory, or I'm thinking. It could even be your thoughts. But, you know, when you continue to think like that, it becomes manifested in time. As a man thinking it out, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. You become what you think. What you think will eventually become real, the real thing. And that's why our thoughts need to be renewed. Is there anyone who says, yes, Pastor David, please pray for me because I really need God more than ever in my life with some decisions or choices or with whatever I am going through? Slip your hand up and slip it back down. Sam, thank you. Slip it back down. Anybody else? Don't. Ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's the worst thing you can do. God is calling you because he loves you and he's trying to get something into your life. And the more we reject that, the more we ignore that, is the worse it gets for us. Last time. Is there anybody else who said, yes, Pastor David, please pray for me? Because I'm going through something at the moment. Yes, I see your hand, put it down. Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand, put it down. Yes, I see your hand, put it down. Anybody else? You're going through something and you know what you're going through. The thing is going through, it's weighting you down. Maybe there are weights and pressures and burdens placed upon you. And God is saying, I want to bring change into your heart, change into your life. All those who raise your hand, stand. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, stand up, even though you're not raising your hand. Stand up right now. Everybody, stand. Not everybody. Those who have raised their hands, stand up. Because I believe that this day, the appointed day, is today for change to come into your life. Come forward. All of you, come forward. In Jesus' name. God is going to break yokes. In Jesus' name. You're not going to walk through these doors like the way you came in Jesus' name. You're not going to walk through these doors the same in Jesus' name. Every burden's going to be lifted in the name of the Lord. I don't care how big and bad it seems and how big and bad that enemy is. And by the way, if I'm speaking to anybody else and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you should be joining us at the front. Do that now if the Holy Spirit is speaking. Do that now. Don't delay. Don't contemplate. Don't sit there with your hands folded spiritually. Get up and move, because God wants you to move. And you're moving and saying, yes, Lord, I'm moving in obedience according to what you are saying and according to what you are doing, Lord. And no matter what this burden is, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, every burden lifted and every yoke destroyed in the name of the Lord. Do me a favor. Can you all come this way for me?